Boker Tov, everyone. Good morning. Os Yud Zayin. We are up to number 17, 17th entry here in the Rebbe's diary in the Tzav Viziras. Now, the Rebbe is going to describe in searing emotional detail a thought, a revelation that he had at Shalosh Shuddos. Now, elsewhere in the diary, he talks about the power of Shalosh Shuddos. I don't know how many people in this group sit down to have a formal Shalosh Shuddos, but especially in the world of the Hasidim, Shalosh Shuddos is an important time. It's referred to as Rava de Ravin, Ratzon Shel Ratzon. And just on one foot, the reason why this is the way that it's termed is because everything begins, all of work, the entire week, everything begins in actuality, in practice, befoal, practically, on Sunday, on Yom Rishon, at the beginning. What happens before you do something? You have a decision. You have a choice. You have a ratzon. So that's why it's called Ratzon Shel Ratzon, because it's just at the last moments before you take action or you approach something or you apply something or you initiate something. At the moment before, you have to decide, you know what? I'm going to do this. It's like that split second before you jump in the pool. You just have to decide, I want to take that leap, and then you jump in. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he is Mechadish B'tuva B'chol Yom Tamid. He constantly renews our world. But there's one perspective through which he renews our world, not just on an everyday and an every instant basis, but on a weekly basis. Shabbos is the Makor HaBracha. It's the source of blessing for the entire week. And so to speak, the energy of Shabbos propels us through the week. Before we get started on the week, we first have the Ratzon of Shabbos. And that's why Shalosh Shuddos is this powerful time. Okay, so at this moment, the Rebbe is having a thought. And this thought, it's a little bit scary for some of us. And we're not necessarily on this Madrega, on this level. But maybe it gives us a pause. Maybe it enables us to think to ourselves, when do I have these kind of reflections? When am I introspective? What's the opportunity for me to think about myself? So here's what the Rebbe says. He tells us. Pachad nofal olai esmol. Yesterday, fear gripped me. When? In the brackets, b'shalosh shuddos. And Shalosh Shuddos. Why? Why all of a sudden was the Rebbe gripped by fright? Not only was he gripped by fright, as he'll allude to later on, he started to cry. He was so moved deeply that he wept. Kisha'ola b'machshavti, when it went up in my thought, when I considered the fact, Mahaya, what would happen? Be'imchas v'shalom, if God forbid, higia ki tzi'ata. This was the end of my term in this earth. What would happen if this was the end? The HaMishnah Omeris, the Mishnah tells us in Pirkei Avos, Vishuv Yomecha Lefnei Misascha. The person should return to HaKadosh Baruch Hu one day before they pass from this world. Rak Lashuv. Just to return, the Rebbe says. Shelo La'asos. Not to do, v'shelo lachshov ra, and to not think anything bad, al yedei shemizgabra al atzmo, that the person can quash their inner yetzer, that efsher b'chol yom af b'dmei yamav. Okay. The Rebbe says, the Mishnah tells us to return to HaKadosh Baruch Hu the day before we leave this world, not to do and not to think anything bad by holding back on ourselves. We could do that anytime. So the Rebbe is saying, that's not what I'm afraid of. That's not what's disturbing my equanimity. That Mishnah is fine. We can all do tshuva at any point. Ula yomos lamachar, maybe the person will leave this world the next day. But the Rebbe says there's something much deeper. Avalasaking es atzmo, to mend ourselves, b'chol yom, every day. Shebe'emes, that in truth, titar hanefesh, our soul will be purified. Mikol choli v'kesem, from every ailment, from every disease, from every stain. Kamoshi yodea v'rotz ani, like I know and I really want. Efshar kol kach b'nei kal. That's not so simple. The Rebbe says, look, there are many madrigos, many levels of returning to Hashem. Maybe even you could distinguish within these words of the Rebbe between two terms that Rabbi Joseph B. Soloveitchik explained in the concept of tshuva, that there's something called kapara, atonement, where you are technically forgiven for the wrongdoings, but then there's tahara, there's purity, there's that inner light. So the Rebbe says, you know, to get kapara, to say the vidui, okay, we can do that at any point, but to really transform ourselves, whew, the Rebbe says, takes a deep breath, and then he starts to cry, says, Efshar kol kach b'nei kal, it's not so simple. Oh my gosh, now the Rebbe starts going deep. Uchshani malabarayonai, when I start thinking, when I raise in my mind, mahaya, what would be, b'imutzrachti leiros ba'olam ha'kedusha lofnei Hashem, if I was forced right now to appear in the world of holiness, in the next world, before God, b'kismei nafshi, with the stains on my soul, pachad v'ashevetz yochazeni, I'm gripped by fear and trembling, mamish, so much, shelo yarei kol kach mibnei amavis lo da'akti, I never was so afraid of death, and I never worried about it, kol kach harbe al chosu yamim, chas v'shalom, on the person's shortness of days, kamom in re'ia hazos. The Rebbe's like, you know, I never thought of it this way. It never hit me. Just, I don't know. I just thought of it, and it just hit me. So the Rebbe's being open about this spontaneous revelation, so to speak, that he has, that he just realizes that when the Mishnah says, Shuv yom echa lefnei misascha, we should return to Hashem every day because we never know if it would be, God forbid, our last. But that's not what we really want. We want to be our best selves before we go back, kivyachol. We want to be pure. We want to be that inner vision of our neshama that it can be. And that, he says, is not so simple. So now the Rebbe changes his tack a little bit. He says, Avalama bachisi, next paragraph, you see it on the screen. But why did I cry? V'yareisi kol kach, and I was so concerned, so afraid, lehiros dafka lefanav yisparach sham ba'olam ha'elyon. Why was I only afraid to appear before God in the next world, b'kismei nafshi, with the stains on my soul? V'lo ira, and are not concerned, I'm not worried, lehiros, to appear lefanav, before God, lefanav yisparach, gam ata, now. B'yosi olam b'olam hazeh. The Rebbe says, wait a second. This whole consideration that what would happen if, God forbid, I appeared in the next world at any moment. Wait a minute! But God is watching me right now. How do I feel about myself right now? Why do I have to wait till tomorrow, till the next, that it's a preparation? Yes, olam hazeh domo l'prozdor. This world is just a bridge or a hallway before the next world. But what about in this world? And then he starts to get even more nervous. He opens up to us and he says, Umi yodea, who knows? Im lo bo'ad Hashem kvar benafshi uvekisomea. Maybe God, as a boy, literally means to kick. Maybe God has already rejected me. Vahashlicha vishlicha el achar apachos harchek mimenu chas v'shalom. Maybe God is already far from me now. Ainli Eitza, I have no other Eitza. No other avenue, no other idea, suggestion. Rak only lizok el hamelech, to cry out to the king. Ribono shel olam, hatzileni mitit, save me from the dirt, from the mud, from the stains. You can help me. Va'al edba chas v'shalom, and don't let me drown. A lot of pieces here to unpack, right? That's the end of the entry, period. He goes from being worried about seeing God eye to eye in the next world to realizing that I have a relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu in this world, and maybe those stains are keeping me from him. So he starts to be concerned about today. So what's his answer? It's to cry out to the king. It's to realize that even if we are in the tit, we can always cry out to him. Isn't that interesting? It's almost like a paradox. Because if he really believed that, God forbid, Hashem had thrown him el achar apachos harchik mimeno, if God had thrown him far away, so why is he crying out for? Maybe the king is so far he can't hear him. He says, but that's not the case. It's not the case. The king can always hear us. Lizok el hamelech, to scream to the king. God, you help me, save me from the Yetzer Hara. Right? It's so interesting that on the one hand, we have to be personally responsible for our choices. We have to be Bali Bechira. We own our decisions and our choices. Hakol Bidei Shamayim, everything is in the hands of heaven. Chutz Miyira Shamayim, except for our pursuit of spirituality, of Yira Shamayim, fear of heaven, making spiritual choices. That's not in God's hands. That's in our hands. On the other hand, Chazal tells us that had HaKadosh Baruch Hu not helped us, the Yetzer Hara would always overwhelm us. So are we relying on him, or are we owning it ourselves? One avenue, way of negotiating this, the Rebbe says, is both. Is recognizing that we need Hashem's help and asking him to help us. That's part of owning our own destiny. Asking Hashem, please help me in this situation. It happens to be that this situation is a spiritual conundrum. It's a spiritual challenge. It's a Yetzer Hara. It's feeling like I have refesh v'tit on my neshama. I have lichluch. So we ask Hashem to help us. We ask him to bring us back. Help us not drown. Help us be clean. We might feel like we're far away. You know this story already. Maybe in some way, on a homiletic level. Maybe we feel like we haven't been called to the king, Zesh Lo Shim Yom, these 30 days, a whole month, a whole long period of time, we haven't been called to the king. HaMelech, the king. And we feel like we can't go back, we can't ask him for things, after all the things that we've done and where we've gone and how distant we feel from him. So there's a voice that tells us, Kasher Avadati Avadati, what can I do? I'm lost. But then there's another voice that says, what do you mean? Even if you feel that you haven't been called to the king, this is your opportunity. You need to own your destiny. You need to go ask the king for help. And who does that? Esther does just that. She stands before HaMelech. She stands before the king. And she says, look, I don't have much to stand on. But I'm asking you. She'ilasi Ubakashasi. Tinasein li nafshi b'she'elasi. Perhaps on a homiletic level, Esther says to the Ribono Shel Olam, she says, we've gotten so lost in this world. We've eaten from this party. Our neshamas are stained, like the Rebbe says. We want our nefesh. We want to be pure souls. So please help us. Help us. And what does HaMelech do? What does the Ribono Shel Olam do? He extends the sharvit. He extends the scepter. He says, okay, it's true. We haven't seen each other for a while, but that's okay. That's okay. Let's make a party. Let's get back together. So I would tell the Rebbe, if he was sitting next to me, if I was so arrogant, I would probably, you know, call someone to, you know, talk to him. But if he was sobbing next to me, I would put my arm around him and say, Rebbe, it's true. We all have stains on our neshamas, and that's part of being in this world. But the fact that you care, that you're thinking about that, that itself is pursuing godless. The fact that you're asking HaKadosh Baruch Hu to help you, that itself is a simon of greatness, of godless. So the challenge and the opportunity that we have is to talk to the Rabbono Shel Olam. How much time, not in a way that ends us crying on the floor, because that's very intense, it might not be for our Madrega, but to ask ourselves, how would I appear before Hashem in the next world, and how do I appear right now in this world? And to realize that we're not where we want to be, and that that's okay, because we can call out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and say, I'm working on myself, I'm doing what I can, and part of that is to ask you to help me. Even though HaKol B'Yedei Shamayim Chutz Mi Yiras Shamayim, but part of Yiras Shamayim is asking Hashem for help. Having that conversation with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What did the Rebbe say? There's nothing left. Ein li etza. I don't have any advice for you. Rak lizok el ha-melech, to scream out to the king, to our king. Ribono Shel Olam Hatzileni Mitid. Save us. Have that conversation. Va'al edba chas v'shalom. We shouldn't chas v'shalom. We shouldn't drown. But the good news is, we always have that lifeline, that Sharvid Hazov, that the Ribono Shel Olam says, don't worry, if you come to the Chatzar Beis HaMelech, if you stand Nochach Beis HaMelech, if you come to the house of the king, I'll stretch it out for you. Even if we feel that we've lost at the rope, we're at the end of the rope, the Ribono Shel Olam will always stretch it out for us. So this week, with Purim Haba Aleinu Latova, we reinforce this notion of crying out, of speaking to the Ribono Shel Olam. Maybe take some time. Purim is very hectic. It's even more hectic because it's a Friday. Although it's Friday with COVID, it's going to be interesting Purim. But it's an opportunity to take the time to find a few moments, Lizok al HaMelech. Purim is like Shtikl Yom HaKippurim. There are a lot of connections there. But the idea that maybe we don't feel that our neshamas are in the 100% the right place, but that's okay, because on Purim, Kol HaPushit Yad Nosnim Lo, whenever you stretch out your hand to someone, they give you. That's one of the halachas of Purim. Kol HaPushit Yad Nosnim Lo, on a physical level, but it's also true on a spiritual level. When we stretch out our hand to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we cry out to Him, Ribono Shel Olam Hatzileni Mitid Va'al Ed Bochas V'Shalom. So, Nosnim Lo, He's got to give us. Halavai should answer us, that we should have that aliyah, that spiritual elevation, as the Rebbe hopes for every day, but certainly this year on Purim.